And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ and Rhett here for Move the Sticks. Bucky is out and about on the bowl circuit, and so we have the PBU in the house. What's up, Rhett?
He's back. What's up, man? Glad to be back here. This is, I tell you what, you know, out of all the podcasts I listen to, I love the 10 takeaways. So, like, I might just come in and sit down and listen to you guys.
You could be the permanent 10 takeaway PBU.
Here we go.
I always feel weird on this day. It's a busy day, but do you feel guilty? We just did 7 hours of television coverage on what everybody calls Black Monday. We just call it the aftermath of the season. Our regular show, The Aftermath, is 2 hours. This was 7 hours of coverage. We have 8 coaches that are without jobs, and I feel like we kind of roll through it, and we're talking about who the next guy is going to be, what went wrong, what went right, and then as somebody that grew up in a football family, as you did, and having been in that world myself, you know how many people this impacts with family, so it's just you always feel weird on a day like today.
Our family has been on the wrong end of this day twice now, once in New Orleans and once in Washington, and so that is not lost on me, and that's not lost on anybody that we sit at the round table with on the aftermath, and I think that's important to note on a day like today because, I mean, I get kind of emotional thinking about it and talking about it. It's not just who's going to be the next coach for your team. It's like, where's this kid? Where's my son going to school next? Yeah. You know, where are we, you know, going to have to move to? There's so many domino effects. So.
No doubt. But we do have a lot to get to on our takeaways today. We always do this each and every week, the 10 Takeaway Podcast. Normally it's based off what's taking place on the field. We've mixed this in a little bit, though, with some of the changes and turnover as well as what took place on the final weekend of NFL football. So I'll start us off, and let's look to the future here because, in my opinion, the Cleveland Browns job, you heard me right, is the best job available.
4th and 10, Baker Mayfield to throw, under pressure, his pass is intercepted! C.J. Mosley picks it off!
Go down!
Mosley with the interception, the Hayes in the barn, and the Ravens are in the playoffs.
I mean, there you know, Rhett, when you look at this team and you look at what you want as an or if you're coming into an organization as a coach, you first of all, everybody talks about ownership. You've got general manager, you've got quarterback. Those are the three places you look. I think they're in great shape in all three spots. They've got salary cap space. They have a nucleus of talented young players highlighted by that group last year with obviously Baker Mayfield, Chubb, Denzel Ward, Callaway. I mean, they have a great group of young guys. And I look at a division that's going to be there for them. We saw how competitive they were with the Baltimore Ravens, a team that ended up winning the division there in Week 17. They are right on the doorstep. I think this is the plum job.
I felt like they were going to go down and might actually win that game. Like, they were getting into field goal range.
If Baker makes one throw, they win.
Yeah.
That out route late in the game on that last drive, he missed. Right. He was behind him. If he puts that out in front of him, that's a game-winning field goal coming up next.
So they got the 17th pick. This kind of feels
been a
weird.
While, right?
Right?
Feels without trading back.
You know... And I'm absolutely right with you. I'm absolutely on par with you with quarterback. You've got that there. That's actually kind of one of the themes this year. There are coaching jobs out there with quarterbacks.
Young quarterbacks.
Yes,
this never happens.
Never happens. And, you know, if they can figure out, they got the pass rusher deal. If they can figure out the left tackle deal and a couple more pieces, man, that's going to be a fun ride in Cleveland. And so now who's it going to be? And I will say a little bonus take here for you. The Ravens have been the best run team in football since week 11. Nobody ran it more and nobody ran it better than the Ravens, but I feel like their best run this season might be their playoff run. And I'll tell you that because I feel like they can beat any team in the AFC.
Yep.
But I also do feel like they can lose to any team in the AFC. And it's because
they're in every game for better or for worse.
That close nail-biter game, you're going to run your fingernails down, but they're going to be in it, and they're going to have a chance to win it late, and they can muddy it up. They can shorten the game. We saw outside of a Patrick Mahomes throw, you know, on a fourth down that was nuts. They were in that game against the Chiefs. So, like, they can beat anyone, and I feel like they can run right through the AFC.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great point. Why don't you get to your first takeaway?
Here we go. How about from miracle to misery in Minnesota?
24-10 Bears snap. Cousins looking to throw, going to heave it deep into the end zone, going up for it, and it sails out of the back of the end zone. It is fourth down, and that will do it. That will do it here in Minnesota. The Vikings go off the field on a fourth down try. Fade to black. Bears are going to take it over and win their 12th game of the year. They'll do it on the road here in Minnesota and knock the rival Vikings out of the playoff.
Okay, so I mean, one of the images that I think about now from this season and from where the Vikings are right now to where they were around this time a year ago after the Minneapolis Miracle, Stephon Diggs scores, throws his helmet off.
How about that?
Right,
threw the helmet again this time. A little
that's
different.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And so how far they have come, or how different this is now, about a year removed, is kind of crazy. I mean, like you see. You know, something we really didn't see all year long, like Kirk and Adam Thielen are on the same page.
That was the most surprising thing.
Right? And even their defense wasn't up to the level that they were at a year ago. And so everything just seemed to fall apart. They could not run the ball. And this offensive line, you know, we kind of gave Rick Spielman a lot of credit for turning that thing around a little bit last year. Now it's kind of fallen back. And they dealt with some injuries too, but man.
They've got to get better on the offensive line. I mean, look. Kirk Cousins not play up to par what you need from him when you're paying him that kind of money. But they're not very good up front offensively, and until they get that squared away, it's not really going to matter who's back there. They're not going to get where they ultimately want to go. I would imagine that's going to be first and foremost what they address in the offseason. But I would say we were talking about this earlier today. Most disappointing teams,
They're up near the top.
I still say Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, most disappointing. Pittsburgh. Minnesota right up there.
But if you'd have told me this Minnesota team after adding Kirk Cousins would not make the postseason, I wouldn't have believed you.
Right, and in a home game, win or go home.
With a Bears team that you don't know, are they
going to
fully
everybody?
Committed to everybody?
Hey, hat tip to the Bears, though.
They did. They played hard.
Yeah.
And they finished up the season, the regular season, the right way. And their reward is they get to see the Eagles.
Yeah, so, there you go. One of the
hottest
teams.
There. All right. Speaking of luck, Watson, luck, round three.
Luck ready, under center, takes the snap, takes a knee, and that'll do it. And the Indianapolis Colts, just the third team in NFL history to start 1-5 and make the playoffs. They knock off the Tennessee Titans 33-17 in Nashville. They're headed to Houston.
Oh, I can't wait for this one. And I feel like with these two quarterbacks, I don't know where you are on this, Rhett, but we seem like all these young quarterbacks we get excited about and get the attention. Baker Mayfield has had an unbelievable, one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen. Patrick Mahomes, probably going to be the MVP of the league. Young quarterback, getting all kinds of attention. Even guys like Mitchell Trubisky generating some buzz. I feel like we kind of forget about these two.
Yeah.
And what my one point here on Watson, before we get to Andrew Luck, watching the Alabama kind of smother Oklahoma for the first half of that game, and I watch what Alabama does defensively, which is they play two-man. They can stop the run with five guys.
Yeah.
So they play man coverage all the way underneath, and they play with two high safeties. That is the most difficult thing to throw against as a quarterback. And the more now, as time goes on, we see this Alabama defense with just everybody, how much we should appreciate Deshaun Watson against that defense, carving them up twice. And he's always been one that doesn't shy away from a big stage, and now we get to see him in the postseason going up against Andrew Luck, who is as gifted and as talented as any quarterback in the league.
So, and in this matchup alone, right, this will be the third time we see these two teams. They split the regular season series. The Texans got their first win of the season against the Colts in week 4, and then that was in Indianapolis. And then in week 14, the Colts come into Houston and stop the Texans' win streak.
Started it and stopped it.
Exactly. The thing, though, Andrew Luck threw for 863 yards in two games versus the Texans.
T.Y. Hilton, I think, caught all but 2 yards of those.
You might be right. He had, let's see, I wrote they had 199 in the Week 14 matchup. So that's got to change for the Texans' defense. And then for the Texans' offense, you can't – I mean, Deshaun Watson was sacked 11 times in those two games against the Colts. That can't happen. So to me, it's like I got to protect Watson if I'm the Texans, and then getting after Luck, man, that's something that's got to happen for sure.
No doubt.
Okay.
All right, get to the next one.
Yes, let's do it. Foles to the rescue again.
Foles under center. Foles rolling, looking, still looking, firing, and it is complete. Touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey.
And he just rips the ball away from Josh Norman.
Old St. Nick, man. How about in week 17 against the Redskins, knowing you were going to need a little help, he goes out and puts 25 straight completions together. Are you kidding me? And then comes out of the game, and my man Nate Sudfeld picks it right up. He goes one for one.
I knew we were going to get a Sudfeld reference.
Of course I was getting a Sudfeld reference in. I mean,
by the way, I'm looking through the rundown here. Is there no Jordan Howard taken here?
We kind of skipped over that.
Wow.
100 yards. There it is. Bonus
slighting your Hoosiers.
It was a big Hoosier day. But
Cody Latimer?
Yeah, he had a big touchdown catch. Tevin Coleman had a touchdown run.
Dan Feeney, one of his better games. Go ahead.
So I just, you know, every time I think, you know, like this is going to be okay, you know, like, yeah, Nick Foles, the run was great, but, you know, at some point,
it's going to be midnight.
We're
right?
going to all realize that Carson Wentz, again, you know, is really the quarterback to lead this franchise. And he may well, very well be, and that's fine. But Nick just has this big play game ability. He's not going to let you, he has not let this Eagles team down. And so I find it hard to count the Eagles out as long as he is the guy that's right there making the plays for him and with the ball in his hands. I mean, am I wrong?
What's the key to the postseason? In my opinion, it's can your quarterback and your defensive line dominate a football game? Yeah. And when you look right now at the way Foles is playing, as hot as he is, and you look at that defensive line that's really getting after the quarterback with Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett and company, that is a dangerous group.
Yeah, no question. Look, the Redskins are the Redskins at this point. You know, Josh Johnson's playing quarterback. Like, this was, you know, but in the end, it's a division game. You're on the road, and, you know, the Eagles rose to the occasion, and they got the help they needed, and now I don't want to see him in the playoffs. So, anyway, hit me up with number five. What do you got?
Yeah, number five, Bengals are playing catch-up.
Fourth down and five. Steelers in the dime. Show blitz. Driscoll back. He fires a pass, and it's incomplete at the Steelers' 42-yard line, and the game is now officially in the books as the Steelers take over on downs with 1:08 to go.
Yeah, I'm not talking about mustard and ketchup there. I'm saying they're playing catch-up inside this division. When you look at the Ravens, the way they're built right now with a talented nucleus on defense as well as a kind of a dynamic offense, a unique offense there with Lamar Jackson, the Cleveland Browns we've discussed, a team on the rise. Pittsburgh Steelers, for all their turmoil, still have a lot of key pieces in place there. Man, I just feel like the Bengals have some work to do. They've got some good pieces on that roster. Where you fall down on the quarterback is
that's the big question.
I think Andy Dalton is going to be the king of good. I don't know that he's ever going to be great. I always put it to you this way. People ask, you know, should you be in the quarterback? Should you not be in the quarterback market? And I always say, if you can't envision in your mind the confetti falling from the ceiling on your quarterback's head while you hoist a Lombardi trophy, if you can't imagine that or see that, then you need to be obviously looking to try and find the guy that can be that guy. So my question with Andy Dalton, I don't see him in that light. I don't see him as a championship caliber quarterback. And when I try and rank the jobs with Marvin Lewis gone after 16 years, I know there's other jobs more attractive because of the quarterback situation. But, man, you think you're going to be given a fair shot? The previous guy got 16 years, didn't win a playoff game.
Patience is a virtue in Cincinnati. And I'll say this, like, to take your quarterback.
They've got some receivers. They got a running back. They've got some good
pieces. And they were decimated by injury late. A.J. Green missed a ton of games. But to go one step further on your quarterback evaluation there, I feel like if you even have to ask the question – like, is that kind of telling in and of itself? Like,
no, and I'm not saying you just go, you got to find somebody better.
If you don't find
anybody better, then you stay the course, and that's the situation that they're in. And when I kind of look at the options that they would have this year, I don't know that they're going to be able to find an upgrade over Andy Dalton.
Right.
But they need to be kicking the tires on everybody to see if they can. That's my point.
I also feel like we'd be remiss if we did not mention what in the world is going on in Pittsburgh right now.
Drama.
Didi Kinkabwala with some great insight on Antonio Brown getting in an argument with Ben Roethlisberger, showing up with a knee injury on Thursday, missing time to get it evaluated, not showing up on Saturday, and then kind of a surprise, didn't play on Sunday, and then left the game at halftime. That's taking drama another step further now.
Here's the interesting thing. When you look at drama historically with the Pittsburgh Steelers,
it's always been there.
Well, Santonio Holmes had drama, they moved on. We've seen Le'Veon Bell, they decided to go away. And I know they didn't make the postseason, but you can look at what James Conner and Jalen Samuels did and you say, okay, they didn't really – they replaced their production. I don't think that Antonio Brown can be replaced. He is the singular best wide receiver. He's the toughest cover, I'll say, in the National Football League. He has been for several years. And I like James Washington. I know the Steelers have been an organization that's done a better job scouting wide receivers than anybody else. Emmanuel Sanders, we can go all the way down the list of guys. But that's a different dude. I think I'd be a little more forgiving with Antonio Brown's issues and see if you can figure this thing out going forward.
And if you're a fan base, can you actually like envision being without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown as you approach 20? I mean,
I don't know how you do that, but I'm telling you, they've been able to replace guys. I don't think this guy's one that you can replace.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. All right, I'll get us to takeaway number six, one and done for Wilkes.
Snap, ball is down, the kick is up. And the kick is good, and the Seahawks win it 27-24. The Cardinals finish 3-13. They will have the number one pick in the 2019 draft.
And you know, this is – I really hate to see this because one and done's are tough to swallow in the NFL. Because
you move your family out there for 1 year.
That's what we're saying, man. I mean, like that. And look, and that's not to say that, woe were the NFL coaches who are making $5, $6, $7 million a year.
Not all of them are, right, those assistants.
No, that's exactly right. And it's not just the head man, it's the staff and everything that goes with it. But, you know, I also look back at guys that have been given a little bit of patience. Ron Rivera, one of those guys who we put on the hot seat for a couple of seasons in Carolina. They stuck with him. He brought him to the Super Bowl. He's getting another year this year after a real bad second half in Carolina. So you just wonder, like, is one season really enough to make your imprint on a team? So I think about that, and then I go back and look at what the Cardinals did this year. Worst scoring offense in the NFL, worst total offense in the NFL. They got beat 34-0 in week 2. They got beat 45-10 in week 7, 45-10 in week 12, 40-14 in week 15.
I get the point. Not good.
You know, can you see the forest through the trees if you're Steve Keim and if you're Michael Bidwell? And in that regard, I kind of understand it.
Yeah, it's tough. And you don't want to see guys only get 1 year,
right?
But you also don't want to kind of languish. You don't want to go further into the hole.
Exactly.
You know, there's always that that phrase in football. You say it every sport, really. You don't want to compound the mistake.
Right.
Make the initial mistake. Announce it, correct it, move on. Yeah. And that's what they've done in this situation. So we'll see what happens there in Arizona. I do think the fact that you have a quarterback with a ton of ability and a young guy in Josh Rosen and the number one overall pick, and it's a great place to live. Phoenix is great. So I think that's an attractive job.
Is.
I think they'll get a good candidate there.
I hope so.
In Arizona. All right, next one. Hunter Henry, your services are needed.
Rivers in the shotgun, Borden to his right. Motion man Keenan Allen fakes the handoff to the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers! Mike Williams, his 10th TD grab of the season. Hands the ball to a Charger fan in the front row of the end zone. And he hands away a little piece of history. With that 10th touchdown grab, first time a Charger receiver has had 10 touchdowns since 2014. Last man to do it, Antonio Gates.
This Chargers offense, look, I call the Charger games for those listening to the podcast each and every week there with my buddy Matt Money Smith. So I've seen every game this year with this team, and really offensively haven't found a rhythm down the stretch here these last couple games, especially you look at the last three games. Phillip Rivers has a turnover on the opening drive each of the last three games. Just haven't really been clicking. They're going to see in this game against the Baltimore Ravens a lot of man coverage. The Ravens like to attack you up front. So the fact that Hunter Henry is back practicing with the football team after missing the entire season coming off of an ACL is huge. Antonio Gates is always going to be where he's supposed to be. He's got a nice rapport with Phillip Rivers. Virgil Green's one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. Hunter Green's a different animal. Hunter Green can climb down the seam. He can get vertical. He can win one-on-one matchups. He's going to be a big spark for this Chargers team that needs one right now offensively.
No, you're absolutely right. And that is, I mean, the thing that's interesting, because I know you've given us the reports, seeing him warm up before games, because you obviously been there and said he looks good. Playoffs are a tough time to get up to speed.
The speed is cranked up, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I wonder what kind of impact he can actually make. But, man, it's going to be fun to watch. He was so explosive when he's out there. So I hope for his sake and for the Chargers' sake that's something that works out for them. I got a bonus take for you.
Oh, give me a bonus.
When will Elway find the next Elway? Like, when are we going to get a quarterback that sticks around? You know, whether it's draft or even a young free agent, maybe somehow. I know they don't grow on trees in free agency, but I mean, let's look back here. Obviously, he wasn't there when they drafted Tim Tebow, but I mean, we go back to Brock Osweiler in the second round, Zach Dysart. I mean, let me see, and then obviously Paxton Lynch in the first round, Chad Kelly in the seventh round, Trevor Siemian. He was a seventh rounder in 2015, like. None of those guys are there anymore.
Yeah, no, and, it hasn't been good.
And then, obviously, Case Keenum did not work out this year. I think there's going to be some veterans that are on the market. I mean, if you're
Flacco?
LA, we played QB matchmaker.
I know. I think that you're the first one that said it. I think it does, in terms of trying to find somebody that mirrors the image of Elway. Now, Flacco's not
nearly
an
athlete around like, that,
like
I get
Elway,
it.
But older Elway, still with plenty of arm strength, can push the ball vertically down the field. And the other thing that's interesting, if you look at Joe Flacco, had some success when a guy named Gary Kubiak was calling plays for him. Somebody that's there with that organization that you would imagine would get a strong recommendation to his buddy, John Elway. And who knows, if he could convince his wife into it, it sounds like that's been kind of one of the issues.
He was not ruled out as the Broncos firing Vance Joseph today after 2 years. And then John Elway was asked if Adam Gase was going to be a candidate. Not right now.
Yeah.
He was asked if Mike Shanahan was going to be a candidate. Not right now. He was asked about Gary Kubiak. He said, Gary's going to be with us. He's going to be around. Not sure in what role. So that kind of leaves the door open to me.
And I think that'll be speculated a lot about a lot. I don't know that people have connected the dots to Flacco. I think that's a very real thing.
There we go. And I am going to get us to takeaway number 8, third offensive coordinator in 4 seasons coming up for Matt Ryan.
First and goal at the 7. Play fake to Hill, out the back door, wide open, Ridley, he will walk in, uncontested for the touchdown.
Well, both Alabama receivers, Jones was in the back of the end zone, there was nobody with him either.
And that's kind of worrisome if I'm Dan Quinn. I get that you felt like you had to make the move, but let's go back to year 1 with Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. That wasn't a pretty picture, was it? It took a minute.
Second year was great. And then it was over.
Right. And so Steve Sarkisian, first year, not great. They had some moments this year, a stretch where they were winning consecutive games.
Calvin Ridley was rolling.
Yeah. I mean, and they've certainly got the pieces on offense, although I highly doubt that Tevin Coleman's going to be back there next year with the money that he's going to come in on the open market.
A lot of Hoosier talk on the podcast today.
That's what you get when the PBU's around. And so it makes me wonder then, you know, if it takes a year to get up to speed here, you know, is Dan Quinn going to be given that patience again, you know, once you've kind of taken the drastic step to – erase all of your coordinators, which you did today as well. So that's something. And this was one of my disappointing teams as well, because the Falcons had it all to put it together.
Yeah, and to me, defensive injuries early in the season had a big deal there. But they're going to, like you said, all new coordinators, offense, defense, and special teams.
And in that game, we're going to have a new coach for the Bucs next year as well.
Yeah, there you go. So a lot of changeover in that division. All right, number 9 on the list, Ryan Tannehill, along with Adam Gase, I believe his days in Miami are done.
They run a reverse. They're going to throw the football. Tannehill falls down, but gets in the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
I just think it right now for this Miami team, it's not a clean slate because Chris Greer is still going to hang around. And I'm actually happy for this move because I think Chris is very well respected. I've known Chris for a long time. He knows what good players look like. I like the fact he's been empowered by this change that's taken place. But they need to add some talent to this roster, and I think, again, I come back to that same thing. I don't see Ryan Tannehill as a confetti quarterback. He's had some good moments. He's won some big games, but I don't think he's a championship level quarterback, and he can't stay healthy.
Hadn't been around.
So that's the other challenge. So I think it's best for both parties if they just decide let's move on. And this might be a situation with Miami where, hey, let's go all in on the rebuild. And maybe this thing has to get worse before it gets better. Yeah. Maybe it has to bottom all the way out.
Yeah.
I'd prefer that. I know in baseball, in basketball, that's talked about a lot. In football, people thought maybe the Raiders went that route this year. Yeah. I don't know that the Dolphins really have that many assets to sell off.
Exactly.
But when I try and find blue chip players, the left tackle is outstanding. Tunsil had a great year. He got robbed in the Pro Bowl. Should have been a Pro Bowler. Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to be a stud. Xavier Howard is a big time corner when healthy out there. Outside of those three guys, Kenyon Drake's a good player, but there's nobody offensively on that group where you're like, whoa, you got to worry about this guy. I have a game plan to stop this player. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. And when your starting quarterback misses 25 games in 49 possible that Adam Gase has been there with the Dolphins, it's not going to happen. Yeah. You're not going to get very far that way.
And Tannehill, in terms of where he lands, I think Washington.
Similar to Alex Smith.
I think he fits athletic. That scheme with Gruden. Yep. I think that makes some sense there. So that's a little bonus. What's the final one you got for us?
All right. The Raiders provide get-right game for the Chiefs.
First and 10, Chiefs at the Raider 15. Handoff, jet sweep, left, Tyreek Hill, blocker in front, 10, 5, touchdown, Cheetah, touchdown, Kansas City, and the Chiefs have hammered down the door here and take a 34-3 lead on a 15-yard jet sweep by Tyreek Hill.
A question mark at the end of that?
That was.
I think it
First
was.
Of all, you went Raiders, thought you were going to go Mayock. You didn't go Mayock.
Well, this was.
You sent this in before this the Mayock news
official.
Was announced. Yeah.
And so let's do that without further ado. Big time congratulations to our guy, Mike Mayock, the new general manager of the Raiders. He wouldn't tell us who he's taking number four overall. I was really upset about that. He wouldn't tell us where they're playing next year. I was kind of upset about it. He's not dodging all the questions already.
Yeah,
it's kind of messed up.
Yeah, it's the typical man. You know? by the way, I want to tell this one story real quick because I think a lot of people, they see Mike on TV and Mike's got strong conviction and Mike's opinionated. But people always ask, what's Mayock like behind the scenes? I'll tell you what, to me personally, he's been a great friend. I know, Rhett, you can talk about him forever. You've known him probably even longer than I have. But when I got this job, I'll tell you just one quick story. I'll tell you a little bit about Mike Mayock. It was, I think, my second year. And I had done sidelines at these All-Star games. So I've been, doing Path the Draft. I've been on the draft coverage. But at the All-Star games, I was doing the sidelines. And unfortunately, Charles Davis had something come up where he couldn't go to the East-West game. And if it was a family issue, a health issue, some reason, but Charles couldn't make it. So we're in the production meeting and the night before the game, and they say, all right, so we'll have Mike and Andrew up in the booth. DJ, you and Alex Flanagan are going to be on the one on each sideline. And Mike stopped the meeting. He goes, hold up. If Charles isn't going to be here, why don't we put DJ up in the booth? He's watched these guys. He knows these guys. We're wasting him down. Let's bring him up to the booth. And our producer said, okay, Mike, if that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do. And so that got me an opportunity to get up in the booth for that All-Star game. And then since then, I've been able to be up in the booth for those games. And that's something that I'll tell him this all the time. Like, I really appreciate you going to bat for me. He's just a good dude, and I wish him the best there in Oakland.
I 100% agree with you. He is a guy who is not shy about trying to pump other guys up. And obviously, that's a great story. He did the same for me. I'd ask him before I worked at the NFL Network. I was like, "Hey, what do I have to do to get over there? How do I?" And he would always give me the advice, and he'd say, "Anything you ever need from me, let me know. Anybody you want me to talk to, let me know." And so I'll always appreciate Mike.
All right, enough gushing over Mayock. What's your takeaway here on the Chiefs?
So here we go. Was this in fact a get right game for the Chiefs?
They look good.
They did look good. They lost two in a row coming in, and they had the AFC West on the line, number one seed on the line. So they looked like the Chiefs, especially on offense. We saw the explosive plays. Patrick Mahomes gets his 50 touchdowns on the season, and all kind of feels right with the Chiefs. But does that mean that they're going to get out of the first game, get out of the divisional
round? There's some tough matchups looming on the horizon there.
I'm telling you.
I mean, really, when you look at any of those four teams, look at the four teams in the AFC playing on wild card weekend, and the Chiefs, I mean, obviously, they're going to be at home. That's a tough place to go in. But we saw the Ravens go in there, had a real good chance to beat them. The Chargers went in there and beat them. And then now you're looking at Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson. You think they're not capable of going in there and giving them a run? I mean, the AFC's, it's going to be fun, man. I really can make a case for any of the six teams could go all the way through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, if the Ravens is the four seed, if both the three and the four seed end up winning and the Ravens go back to Kansas City, and that'd be something right there.
How about that? No, this postseason, I don't know that I've ever been more excited for an NFL postseason. It's
I say
wide
it all
open.
The time.
It's wide open.
No question.
Can't wait. All right, well, thank you. Thanks for the PBU, the best in the business
That's what I do.
Bucky out doing some real scouting there on the road
with
these bowl games. So Buck will be back soon, and we'll jump back in. I'm actually going to be out here. I think you might be filling in for me.
The PBU is busy.
The PBU is rolling. I'm going to go meet up with the family for a quick little getaway before I head out to Baltimore for the Ravens-Chargers game this weekend. So I'll be back after that. But I'm looking forward to listening to you and Buck chop it up a little bit. That's going to do it for us here on Move the Six. Kent, wonderful job as well. By the way, how are we doing in the college picks? I don't think I did so good. Are we doing okay?
I think right now.
Are me and you still tied? Or are you winning?
I feel like most of us are struggling. I know Sully's right in the mix as well.
Oh, gosh. And I know Sully's going to come out of left field. He's not even here anymore.
Well, he gained a game, Washington State, Iowa State. We still have the Rose Bowl coming up, some other games.
But did anybody miss the semis? You didn't miss the semis, right? You went Bama, Clemson.
I went
Notre Dame. Oh, you went Notre Dame. Yeah. I picked up two.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
you picked up a steak dinner, buddy.
I got a steak from Bucky. Yeah. I gave him 10 points. They didn't.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Not even close.
That was a really rough one.
Did you see my tweet to Bucky, by the way? Just a sizzling steak.
Yeah. I did. And then the next day, my alma mater, Miami, Mark Richt retires. They go with Manny Diaz out of left field.
My favorite tweet today on Black Monday was, is Manny Diaz doing any homework on these NFL gigs? Miami to Temple to Miami to the NFL. That would be an all-timer.
But, yeah, we're going to have to get your pick leading into next week, the big national championship game.
I want to think about that because I might shock you with this one.
It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. The one thought on that, and then I'll leave. We'll shut this thing down. Is when you get Alabama with Nick Saban having a week to prepare, It's a lot different than when you get Alabama with Nick Saban having a month to prepare. Clemson, when they've had Alabama in championship games, good competitive games. When Alabama had a month to get ready for Clemson, did not end well.
Nobody wants my picks? That's it? Nobody wants my picks?
You're not in this thing, man. You're PBU.
All right. I'm with you.
That doesn't stand for picking
by, I don't know.
Underdogs? Yeah. Picking big underdogs?
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever. All right. Hey, Rhett. Thanks, buddy.
All right. My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you here next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.